Listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM, this is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island. Thanks for joining us. We're tuning into God's frequency. That's what this radio program is, WGOD. Being a radio man myself for over 20 years, if I owned a radio station and if those call letters were available, man, oh man, that would be my station, WGOD. Because I've traveled before where it's hard to pick up radio. Back in the old day, they had these round things on a radio. They were called knobs, and you would tune them when you're driving in the middle of nowhere, just trying to get something other than static. And I love the truth that you can tune those knobs, and any time of day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you can hear the Word of God speaking directly to you. Hence the name of this program, WGOD. We let the Word of God speak here. The words today are coming from the Son of God. It's going to be in a letter that he dictated to give to the Angelos, whether that's angel, I doubt it. I think it's messenger, what the word means. The spiritual leader, I think it's the pastor of this church. And he's written to them one of the only letters here, this in Philadelphia, with no correction, only encouragement for enduring all of this evil that was coming their way. People that had to sign a letter swearing that Caesar was Lord, which obviously they refused to do, and they were being persecuted for this. Hence the name of this church, the Persecuted Church. The bishop was someone named Polycarp back in 156 AD, 50 years after this letter was written, who famously they tried to get him to do all this muck. And he said, imagine this, 86 years. He says, 80 and 6 years have I served the Lord, and he's done me no harm or no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. In other words, bring it on, Smedley. I ain't signing your junk. Do with me what you want, but I'm not doing that. So that is the problems that was going on in this city here, Smyrna. We're in Revelation chapter 2. This is the second part of this message, started yesterday. We will get back into the book of Acts. That's where I'm currently teaching on Sunday mornings, verse by verse. We're in Acts chapter 15. That's where we were on Sunday. You will hear that Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday night, midweek Bible study. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is heading that up. He is in the book of 1 Thessalonians. He's in chapter 4. We'd love to see you for service Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Okay, let's get into the word now. We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, looking at the church at Smyrna.
All right, so this letter comes from the one who came to life again, permanently. Some he raised from the dead only to die again, like Lazarus. And others, they were raised temporary. The Lord Jesus is the only one to rise, never to face death again. As it'll be for you after you die and leave this world, and after you are joined again to and with a new permanent body, you never again will face death. That's good news. All right, verse 9. He says, I know your works and your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy who say that they are Jews, but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan, or we could call a congregation of demons. You're not a Jew, he's saying. Now, Moses was a Jew. Abraham was a Jew. Isaac was a Jew. Peter, Paul, James, John, Simon, and Bartholomew, all those were Jews. A true Jew believes God and the word of God. They don't go around killing followers of God's son. Now, regarding this church, he says that I haven't forgotten about you. Matter of fact, this church and this pastor has no correction from the Lord in this letter. Only encouragement to these guys. He says, I know what you're going through. He says, number one, I know your works. So let me ask the question, does he know yours? Or is that the bad news, that he does know yours? What are you doing with the talents that he's given you? What have you given back as an offering that cost you something? What have you given back to God as an offering that costs you something? Dwayne gave me $50 for the radio. Imagine if I would have put that in the offering plate and written my name on that. What an abomination that would have been. That cost me nothing. I know your works. You see, Jesus has entrusted you with something that belongs to him. What are you doing with it? He will settle accounts with you in a little while. It's not too late. What are you doing with what? He says, I know your works. What are you doing with the things that he's given you? He's entrusted to you. He's given you something. Whether it's your faith or whether it's money, what has God given to you that he's going to take inventory of when he comes back? I know your works. Number two, he says, I know your tribulation. Now, the Bible shows us that all Christians are confronted with tribulation. The Lord Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. Now, some have it worse than others. But what you won't face or have to endure is the wrath of God. Tribulation you'll have. The wrath of God you will never have. God bless you. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Second verse I just gave you a minute ago to write on your handout, Revelation 3:10. It says, to all of those that cross this finish line in faith. Now it's conditional. To all of those. To everyone who perseveres to the end, he said, I will keep you out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon this whole world to test those that dwell on the earth. So you will never face the wrath of God, will never be poured out on you, because the wrath of God was poured out on his son so that it wouldn't have to be poured out on you. Jesus died for you, took the wrath which was due you for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And praise God, he took that for you. You will never face the wrath of God. What you and I have to face all the time is the wrath of Satan. That's what we're talking about here today. Look at the things this church had to endure. All of these evils all around them. How many Christians have been fed to the lions? That's not the wrath of God. God doesn't feed Christians to the lions. That's the wrath of Satan. We've always had to endure that, and we always will. We face it today. Turn on the news if you dare. It's evident in our demon-infested public schools and in our government. This is what it looks like out here when the glory of God has left a building. Turn on the news. Look around you. when that wacko atheist said, get rid of God in the schools in 1963. This is the result. Is it cold in here? Oh, sorry, Amanda. Ain't turning it up. You stand under these spotlights. Tribulation. Number three says, I know your poverty. Sometimes you think that you're poor, but actually you're rich. That's what the Lord told this church. Now, the church at Laodicea, the last one in this seven, they had the opposite problem. They thought they were rich. But Jesus said that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and you don't have any clothes on. You're naked. You and I have an incorrect view of riches and poverty. True riches are not measured by someone's bank account. Remember what God said to Samuel the prophet. He said, God does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord said, and as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. You want to talk about riches? Let's go there. You might think that you're poor, but Jesus considers you to be rich. Let's put it this way. If you know him, you are rich. If your name is in the book of life, let's put it this way. Romans 8:17, it says, we're heirs of God. Who would you rather inherit from? Your Uncle Harry or Almighty Jehovah God? We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Oh, but there's a comma there. It says, if we suffer with him, that's part of the faith. We have an incorrect view of riches and poverty. Now, on the flip side, you might think that you're rich. But if the Lord Jesus says to you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you, then you, friend, are bankrupt. You're as poor as you can get. All right, now next up, the Lord says this to them. He says, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. So how can you say you are a Jew but not be one? I mean, either you are or you're not, right? No, it's not the way it is. Jesus has given us a new understanding for who a Jew is now. Paul said this, Romans 2:28. He is not a Jew that is one outwardly, but he is a Jew that is one inwardly. Circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So he's saying here, I am well aware of your enemies. Also, just because someone says they are a follower of God or a believer doesn't make it true. Synagogue of Satan. He calls these guys people in a congregation of demons. Jesus told the Jews in John 8:44, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Sort of shoots a hole in that universal fatherhood of God wacko doctrine out here today. Oh, we're all children of God. No, we're not. You're a child of God if you've called on the name of the Lord. You are sons and daughters of God if you've called on his name. Otherwise, you're a part of the synagogue of Satan, he said. These Jews weren't in there worshiping devils. They were worshiping God. And Jesus said, you're in a church full of demons. You're killing my people, he says. What a statement. Let me ask a question. Would these Jews worship Satan deliberately if they knew it? Not on your life. They wouldn't have done that. But hear me now. Here's the important truth I want you to take today, tomorrow, next week, every time in these 22 chapters. If you take anything home, take this. And here it is. They were deceived. They were deceived. The Jews were deceived. like Eve. The serpent deceived me, she said, and I ate. You see, they think that something, trying to exterminate Christians, is something, the right thing to do. While something, trying to exterminate Christians, is actually something else, and that is the devil's handiwork. You're doing Satan's bidding. You see, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You think you're doing God a favor, and you're not. You're not a member of the church. You're a member of the synagogue of Satan. For anyone who doesn't worship the man in the glory and bow the knee and call him Lord, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Like declaring his blood be on us and on our children, perhaps was not the wisest thing to say. What do you think? All right, verse 10. Remember what I said. Take that home with you. These people stumbled because they were deceived. That is Satan's trick that he uses against all of us. He deceives you. He deceives. We read in the book of Revelation here coming up. He deceives the whole world. He deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. Remember, in chapter 13, we're going to see that this Antichrist, this false prophet, the Bible says, has the power to give life to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image to be killed. This man is going to have the power, of course, given to him by God. Otherwise, there'd be a million Frankensteins running around out here today. This man is going to have the power to give life. Where's that in the Bible? Revelation chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. Okay. Verse 10. Do not fear any of those things you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, those of you that find yourself in a persecuted church might not be right around here, but there's others that have heard this sermon today, man. They are members. They are card-carrying members of the persecuted church. We heard Larry Lamb say last week, the largest church in the world today. Remember what he said? Iran. Those who find the persecuted church, the devil is about to put some of you into prison so that you may be tested. All right. Now, granted, that was spoken to them. But we can still glean some truths out of someone else's letter, can't we? Such as Satan tests people today. That's what you glean out of someone else's letter. You might not have to go from September 1st to September 11th locked up in jail, but you still can glean some truth out of this, and that is Satan tests people today. Look at what he did to Peter. Once Peter's sin of pride opened the door for the devil to come in, here's what the Lord said to him. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission. All right, wait a minute. What does this guy know that we don't know? How could this devil possibly demand God anything from God? You see, something happens out here in the spiritual when you commit this sin of pride. Jesus says, and he says his name twice, to get the earwax out of his ear, in case he missed it the first time. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded the permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you so that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have turned again, or once you have returned, strengthen your brothers. That's Luke 22:31. You see, and he will test you as well when you exhibit this kind of pride. When you say, like Peter did, I don't care if everyone else in this church stumbles, I will never stumble. You see, that opens up the door for the devil then to go to Jesus and say, you know what? I demand this soul right here. You're doing the kind of things that got me cast out of heaven, is what he's saying. Pride is what got him through. When you walk in one of these devil's attributes like this, pride, Satan has demanded permission for him. When you say, not me, I could never do, I don't care if all of you other church people stumble, not me. I could never stumble. Oh boy, that's trouble when you do that. Remember that sermon I preached, Is It I? Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? 11 of them asked, even Judas who did it said, Is it I? And Peter goes, no, not me. You other cats might do that, but I'm never going to know. I love Jesus too much. I could never stumble. And then the next breath, Satan is demanding. See, he knows something that we don't know. How could he possibly demand anything from God? I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know. And God allows the devil to see what you are made of. Or maybe I should say, God allows you to see what you are made of. Satan said, skin for skin, all that a man has he will give for his life. But pour forth your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. Is he right about you? Will you do anything to save your own hide, or is the devil wrong about you? Now, this is what we're gleaning out of this letter, that Satan has, that God has given him an open door. Well, we open the door. To sift us like wheat. Or is the devil wrong? Now, you were just tested recently when the government forced you to receive a vaccine in order to buy or sell. Be safe. They shamed you. Did you do that? Did you do that? Did you obey the government for the sole purpose because the government forced you to do it? Now, I've got nothing bad to say about anyone who got a vaccine. If you got a vaccine for health reasons, fine. But if you got a vaccine because the government forced you to do it, there's trouble. See, this is a test run to see how you're going to do when the government forces you again to do this. It's just right around the corner from us now. The government, once again, is going to force people. It says, right, no one can buy or sell except he that has the mark. Instead of a vaccine, it's a mark. This is, we've been saying it in here for years now, this was a test run to see, and a trial run to see how you are going to do in the future when the government once again forces you to do something to obey them in order to buy or sell. Next up, the Lord encourages the pastor here at Smyrna and all of us, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. James talks about the crown as well. In James 1:12, he says, blessed is the man who endures trials. For when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Okay, verse 11. He that has an ear. So, looks like we are going to get through all this today. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Notice, churches, not church. Churches, that's plural. That's for all churches throughout all ages. It's a encouragement, advice, admonition, warning for all the churches, plural. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes, so this is conditional, he that overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. All right, what is the second death? How can there be more than one death? All right, so turn with me, please, to chapter 20, verse 11. I don't think we're going to have time to finish this, but it looks like we will. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Second death, he says. What's that mean? I thought death was death, one and done. No. Because death is only the beginning. If your name is in the book of life, it's one and done for you for dying. That is, die once, live forever. All right, chapter 20, verse 11. John says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell, or Hades, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now he tells you who is going to suffer this fate. Verse 15, whosoever. Who's going to suffer the second death? Whosoever's. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the second death, which is the lake of fire, is reserved for all of humanity whose names are not written in the book of life. Everyone who has rejected the Lord Jesus in their life, or I should say, everyone who went to their grave still rejecting him. Now, a lot of people think that once you die, you just wink out and it's all over. To that I say, well, if the first death didn't kill you, why do you think the second one will? Death is not the end. Back up a few verses to verse 10 right there in chapter 20. What does it say? It says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the Antichrist and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So do not be deceived. You will not reign in hell. You will not wink out if you leave this world rejecting Jesus Christ. Receive Jesus Christ and reign with him in his kingdom. And this is Jesus' message to the pastor of this persecuted church. Satan thinks he has you pegged. He himself is quoted as saying, all that a man has, he will give for his life. So, is he right with your case? Or is he wrong? Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.